The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, great joy being in Ondo. I want to thank God for Life Campaign 2025. And it's a privilege for me to be part of Life Campaign.
I am the one who has put words in your mouth. I am the one who has put the thoughts in your heart. I am the one who will bring them forth and will bless my people. So open your mouth and you will see that I have filled it with counsel. Open your mouth and you will see that I have filled it with my light. For out of you will proceed the light that is to lighten my people. I have Reverend Pristo Den in Dev Kriteli Gridusta Vitanagadia. For I have committed to you even a portion of the operation of the priesthood to walk with this morning, to bring healing and to bring cleansing and to straighten the hearts of my people so that they will see me more, so that they can receive me more. So do the work of the priest. Do the work of the priest. Bring forth the counsel. Bring it forth with light. And I will change men's heart. I will change men's heart. Bring the word. Bring it forth with light. Bring it forth with light. For I make you a priest. I make you a priest to restore. I make you a priest to heal. I make you a priest to revive. I make you a priest to declare that which is from the beginning. Do it. Do it. Do it, for the saints' hearts are ready to hear it, says Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thinking about Life Campaign, you know, this year, one of the strongest thoughts in my heart came like a flash. You know, the idea of political campaign. I don't know, Life Campaign has never stood in my heart like a political campaign where the politicians gather, they line up to speak. Something that actually they want to stir up the heart of the people, and they move from state to state or from city to city, mount podiums, climb and make certain proclamations, and the people believe that this is what will be implemented, you know. And thinking about Life Campaign, you know, one of the things the Lord told me is some declaration will be made from the podium and their announcement of a coming kingdom, of a coming rain. And he said, it is at hand. And it is so strong this year, and it will be so strong this year. And it is not a lie. That is why it is all about faithful and true witness, because the vision that will be proclaimed or that is being proclaimed is true. This one is not a campaign line. No, this one is from He that is true. So it is true. So that will be declarations, that will be statements, and they are going to be statements of things that God is about to roll in these few days that are remaining for this particular age. And it's a high and lifted podium when Pastor Tayo was talking about Ondo City, Ondo City. My mind just went back to what he told me about campaign. Campaign. He said, no, it's beyond the city. It's actually a platform I'm lifting. And it is for the whole world, this campaign. Amen. It's for the whole world. The whole world is to hear what God is saying in this campaign. It's going to be a declaration. And it's a declaration of the intensity and how intense the war will be. It is a warfare. But the war is going to be intensified. In fact, I hear the word escalated. It will be escalated. And that is why we need to bind the loins of our minds and be ready to go into this final warfare. It's going to be a serious war. But he that overcometh, and overcomers are being raised. The promise is to the overcomer, and you will overcome in the name of Jesus. From last year, there has been church, you know, in this house on the Morning Star. And through to the end of last year, today, tying up to the crossing over, as if the starting will go, but the starting refused to go. And the starting entered January. So it's not a theme, it's not a topic, you know, it's not a yeah slogan. The starting is something that is supposed to be taken to a higher frequency this year. So the starting continued to this year throughout January. It was all about signs and wonders, you know, the special teachings, you know, teaching on stars and the eagles. Praise God. Praise God. And coming to this campaign, settling, because I remember the first Sunday of the year, 5th of January, Daddy had to emphasize on the true and the faithful. So when the theme came, I said, no, I'm not surprised. Because from 5th of January, I had it very strong. Faithful and true. And so through the special teaching series, you know, we've been going through the signs and the wonders. It's all star, star to him, the bright and the morning star. Coming to talk about him as the faithful and true is the raising of stars that will look like him. Because ultimately, he is the star. The star. And it's raising stars. I have a short exhortation this morning, and I'm just preparing way as I give this exhortation as my usual manner. Praise God. Matthew 21. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Matthew 21. I'll read verse 28 to 31. I want to take a parable Jesus spoke. In that Matthew 21 from verse 28 to 31, he said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. 29. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, even at the sir, and went not. 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Amen. 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 The raising of the true and the faithful witnesses after the order of Jesus is tied to one truth that I want to share this morning on hearing and doing as warfare. It's one thing in a campaign, it's one thing in a teaching for you to hear about the wonders of how we're going to shine as stars, how we're going to draw the world, how we're going to become beacons of light that will draw the world. But it's another thing for us to go through the process and become. I remember one of the things, you know, that he said strongly is that it's okay to be a minister, but don't stay there. That is secondary. Primarily, you're supposed to be a witness. And a witness is higher and greater than a minister. So our striving is not to preach. Our striving is not to be in the forefront. Our striving should be to become. And becoming is tied to hearing and doing. Now, I'm trusting God to bring out some certain truths on hearing and bringing from this parable. Here is a certain man who had two sons. And he came to the first son and said to him, go walk today in my vineyard. Go walk. So it's a call to go and walk. And we have heard clarion call over and over. It's about walk. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. Amen. 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 So it's about walk. So he said, go and walk in my vineyard. In my vineyard. Now, he made reference to the vineyard to go and do work. And the work is actually a work of dealing with some things that are not needed in that vineyard. And it's a parable talking to that young man or talking to us about who we are. Because we are the vineyard. He said, go do work in the vineyard. Now, the first son answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and waited. Now, we have actually adopted this young man very well, but I'm going to use the two of them this morning. I'm going to use the two of them and bring out something the Lord wants to actually fine-tune to us. Amen. Amen. We adopted him. We like him. Even though at the beginning he said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented and went that this is the better one. Even Jesus commended him. Jesus commended him and said, this is the one that did the will of my Father. But I want to just pause here and talk about him a little. This one had, two of them had the commandment. One said outrightly, I will not. I know a lot of us will say, me, I don't say like that. I don't say I will not. I don't normally say I will not. But our attitude and what we do with what we hear tells whether we are saying, I will not or I will. But this one said, I will not. But whether you say it directly or you say it through an attitude or you say it through your sluggishness, however way you say it, me, I want to say that this firstborn is not from my village. Because if this firstborn is from my village, my father will square him very well. But this one had a loving father. My father said, go to farm. And you say, I will not. If he slap you, you fall inside the gutter. You say, I will not. This one say, I will not. Though he's the one that later repented. My prayer is that we will not be like this one in this manner. Amen. Because we commended him, but we always forget this, I will not. This, I will not. We commend him by, afterward, he repented. Not everybody will have opportunity to repent, though. Yes, because somebody broke the law, because somebody didn't do it, and he got away with it. He got opportunity to repent. You too will say, no problem. Anytime you tell our father, I will not, your father will give you more time. It's not for everybody, oh. Where somebody dance, they give him money. Another person will dance, they will beat him. Same dance, same music. So don't try it. Because if you try it, they beat you, you're on your own. Now, I want to say, whether you are saying it directly or indirectly, my prayer is you will be like the second son in response. Go, you will say, I will go. Because we are quick to forget about this first part that said, I will not. I will not. We will just look at the second part. Afterwards, he repented. And when repentance is okay, because even the work itself is repentance. It's repentance. But he's saying that, I will not. He had opportunity. It's a parable. He had opportunity to repent. But somebody may want to follow him. And like I basically say, it doesn't matter even if we take the next 10 years. Let's see, this thing, there is no rush in this thing. I don't know why we'll be teaching for 3 hours. I don't know why we'll be having meetings. Somebody said, you people have meetings 7 days. What are you people saying?
The meeting should be Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday morning you finish with a concert. Yes, concert. Concert. In fact, Saturday evening is a variety night. Friday evening is opening ceremony. Is that what I'm saying? 7 days, morning, evening, morning, evening. I pray that this morning, evening, you will align with it and you will say like the second son. In this respect, I go with the second son. You will say quickly and swiftly, I will go. Quickly. There is a quick response the Lord is demanding of you. We don't want you waiting for opportunity to repent and go. Maybe before you repent. You know, our father, was told that the work he's doing is actually 5 months' work. Five men are supposed to be doing the work Reverend Kayode is doing. In fact, one man was told that the work he's doing in a particular city, that work actually is not his work. It's somebody that's supposed to do the work. The person did not do it. And he was like, wow. Then the Lord said, even you, as you are doing the work, I'm already raising another person. Peradventure, you fail me, I will just replace you. So you may not have opportunity to implement what you are hearing again. So don't be sluggish like this one, because he repented later. Amen. 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 He came to the second and said likewise. The second one answered and said, I will go. Sir. He added, sir. He added, sir. Now that one had opportunity to repent. This one added, sir. And he did not go. He added, sir. You know, there's a way you'll be hearing revelation. You'll be hearing Rema, you know, coming. And you are, wow, Paisama, ay! World is being divided. And you are hearing, you are saying, wow, that is it. That's true. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, tell us. You know, not here we don't say tell them. We say tell us. But then he went not. Now that's where the duo will come. Sharing and doing. Amen. Sharing and doing. Because it's a warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, it's a walk in my vineyard. When you hear the clarion walk, you're supposed to get up, go, and do the walk in my vineyard. Matthew 13. Let's look at the vineyard. Matthew 13. It's a walk in my vineyard. Matthew 13. Now, I'll bring in the parable of the wheat and tares. Praise God. Amen. Amen. To bring down this point. From verse 24, he said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know the story very well. They said, should we go and pluck the tires and leave the way? He said, don't do that. So let's jump to verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tires, you root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. 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 Let them grow together. Let both grow together. Now, the essence of him telling his sons, go to my vineyard and walk, is that some strange things has been sown in the vineyard. And the strange things need to be removed. But then there is a timing for the removal of these strange things. Now the church has been, the Lord intentionally allow ages, dispensations to come and go. But there is a particular dispensation that the Lord is interested, which I want to sound in this life campaign. That it is our dispensation and we are privileged to be in this dispensation. And it is not the dispensation of allowing the boat to grow and keep watching them. Now it is the dispensation of the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are to wake up with all alertness to do the removing, the gathering of the tires in one place to be burned. Now, the interpretation of this parable is actually what really caught my attention, because a lot of times I have had, you know, a lot of exposition from this place, you know, talking about, this is actually talking about things that Satan and people and systems that God, that Satan has put, you know, in this world, that we are to go and actually occupy the mountains. So by so doing, we delete those tires. Until the Lord begin to give the interpretation of this parable by himself. He said, let them both grow until harvest. And I want to say to us, harvest will not pass in our season. Summer will not end in our season. There will be salvation. The prophet Jeremiah said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now the harvest is talking about a time of the culmination of salvation. The work God has started in our lives, there is a so great salvation, and it's going to be in the time of the harvest when everything that offends in the kingdom will be removed. And it requires our cooperation to remove those things that offend that are in the kingdom. Now Jesus gave the interpretation from verse 37. I'll read to 43. 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked ones. And we're easy and fast to interpret that these are talking about children like men somewhere. So those men need to be uprooted. But follow me. 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world or of the age. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world or this age. 41, my target, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. He didn't say people. Out of his kingdom, all things. He didn't say all people. He said all things that offend. All things that offend. And them, this them also is no people. He's talking about things. Things that do iniquity. In fact, my Bible have a margin. That things that offend is a things that cause scandal. Things that cause scandal. He said, out of his kingdom. So they are in his kingdom. So this is a dual setting that if anybody tells us that once saved, always saved, that you know that from this, you know what Jesus is saying about the kingdom, that there are things that offend and they are in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said the tires, when he said the tires in verse 38, are the children of the wicked. These children of the wicked is referring to are things that cause offense. They cause offense. And those things need to be uprooted. Verse 42 and 43. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then, can we read 43 together? Verse 43 starts with then. Then means when those things that are offended have been removed, then you can see stars rising. Stars cannot rise until then, until tires are removed. Things that offend, things that do iniquity, until they are removed, then there will be no shining. There will be no witnesses. There will be no witnesses. Until those things are removed, he said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. The sun is a star. Hallelujah. As the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Amen. 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 Now, I said the harvest is a season of salvation. It's a season of salvation. And such a great salvation. We need grace. We need grace. Titus chapter 2. This is harvest time. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now I'm talking about hearing and doing as warfare. Your becoming is a product of winning in that warfare. And to win in that warfare, you have to both hear and obey. Hear and do. If you only hear and you don't do, then you cannot win the warfare. You cannot uproot the things that do offend. That's the process. The process is uprooting things that offend in the kingdom. We want to shine like stars. We want to be true witnesses. Things that offend in the kingdom must be uprooted. If they are not uprooted, those things will cause you not to shine like the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So James 1:22 said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So don't do one part. Don't only hear and don't do. You hear and do. He said, deceiving your own selves. One of the ways you deceive yourself is when you hear the word and you agree with the word, you become joyful with the word, you celebrate the word. You can easily be deceived by saying, if I hear and hear and hear and keep hearing. Now, if you are used to this community, you'll be familiar with keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing. Where we sit down and have a morning session with two or three, speakers, evening session again, two or three speakers. It's this principle of keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing. But don't keep hearing only. That's my emphasis. Because we can get deceived that because daddy said it, I heard the pastor said it, and I agree with it. You are not saved. The work has not taken place in you. And you can be deceiving yourself that, Abba, in just this week, I've listened to 30 messages. So I've heard. So you're happy. In one day, you can listen out of 24 hours. You can listen to like three-hour messages, like five or six of them. And you can just come out like this. And in fact, anytime I know that I sit down, I listen to the word so much. When I go out for evening jogging, I just be feeling as if men are just short. I'm taller than every man. And you can be carried away that you have had enough. You've had enough. We're going to labor in this meeting. Inasmuch as we hear, our labor will be, as we hear, God will give us grace to be doers. Now, I just want to speak briefly on the dynamics of this doing. So, in Titus 2, verse 11, it said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Grace. You need grace to be a doer. You need grace to be a doer. No man can hear and do. In fact, some of the things, Pastor, some of the things, God, the instructions, the commandments God give us, I'm telling you, they are undoable. Humanly speaking, somebody said, grace is God's unmerited favor, but beyond that is God's ability at work within us. What God will tell you to do, grace will give you the ability to do that thing. Grace. You know, when the Apostle Paul, because of abundance of revelation, thorn was given on his flesh, you know, he asked for the thorn to be removed. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. One thing about grace is that he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I know your strength is made perfect in weakness. It's when I know I cannot do it, then your grace is there, available for me to be a doer and a performer of your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing about grace is that at the end, when God has finished his work in you, you cooperating with his grace, when God has finished his work in you, man cannot take the glory. God will look at you, he will say, it is me that is at work within you. I gave you the willingness to accept it, and I gave you the ability to perform it. It will not be of man to boast about the work that God is performing. When he asked the first son, go walk in my vineyard, it's because when you go, God will supply the ability to do the work in the vineyard. what the enemy has wrought in our life. Listen to me. The rank of the angelic damage that is resident in our soul, the gravity of that cherubic damage resident in our spirit, there is no any strength that can undo it apart from the strength of he that sits on the throne. There is nothing that can undo it. And that's why when our Father says, go walk in this vineyard that the enemy has spoiled inside you, the Father is saying, I will make my grace to appear. This conference will receive a combo. The combo is made up of the instruction, the word that we hear, and the second part is that we will receive the grace. That one, I don't know how God is going to do it, but as we avail ourselves being in this conference, there will be ability to perform. He said, it has appeared to all men, comma, verse 12. Teaching us, verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, the first thing he said we should live is soberly. And that actually talks about the behavior of this first son. This first son that said, I will not go. Is because he has actually not contacted grace. May grace bring soberness in our lives. May grace bring soberness in our lives. He said he's teaching us. The grace is coming to teach us that denying ungodliness. This word denying ungodliness looks the same. And I tried to check even in the Greek. You know, it's the same word with the same root meaning. When Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's the same root meaning. He said, the grace is teaching us to deny or denying, saying no to ungodliness. And then Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. That means that ungodliness and worldly lust is actually what makes ourselves. So it's a warfare against ourselves. One of the uniqueness of our warfare is that you are fighting not an enemy without, but enemy within. It makes our warfare so unique that it's something within you that you are saying no to. So yourself, ungodliness, if any man will come after, let him deny himself, take up his cross. It's a symbol of death. And follow me. So it's actually a warfare against yourself. So denying, Titus said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness and worldly lust are things that are in the world. And these are the things that are inside us. Ungodliness. If you look at the word ungodliness, Titus 2:12. Ungodliness. Ungodliness and worldly lust. Is lust in singular or plural? Plural. Worldly lust. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. Worldly lust, ungodliness, the pride of life. That's what makes an ungodly man. He said, denying them, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. My prayer is we will receive this combo that we will not only hear, but we will be empowered to do in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This knowledge is what I will tie to Titus as the appearance. When grace appears, grace appears as knowledge of God or knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When grace appears, it appears to enable you to do. So he said, grace and peace will come your way through knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. This appearance is unique appearance. This knowledge of God is actually a prescribed knowledge that is customized to you. Customized to you. Let me give you an example. God told Abel and Cain to sacrifice. He told Noah to build an ark. If Cain and Abel were building an ark, they wouldn't have been justified. They received customized instruction. So each of them received an instruction for themselves. Now, God told Abraham to get out. Now, if Noah had gone out instead of building an ark, or if Abraham had built an ark instead of going out, he wouldn't have been justified. So that appearance must be a customized appearance. Customized appearance to everyone and every individual. May the Lord appear to us as at when we need the instruction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What the Lord may be telling Brother A may be different from what he's telling you. He may be telling you to improve in your love walk towards that other sister. But he may be telling the other person, work on your anger. I pray that we will not miss our customized instruction in the name of Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, he said that, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Lord will give you the needed wisdom to go about instruction given in the name of Jesus. To every instruction, there is a needed wisdom for you to carry the instruction. And that instruction is supposed to work out salvation. He said the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. The Lord will give you wisdom that you will be able to carry it out in the name of Jesus. Rahab believed, she feared, she knew that God has given the land to the Israelites. The instruction Rahab obeyed was actually to hide the spies and make sure that nobody had access to the spies. And God justified her for that. And in the New Testament, the Bible account recorded concerning her said, by faith, Rahab hid the spies. That was a wisdom. That was a wisdom God gave her. Somebody said, but didn't she lie? That was a wisdom God gave her. Put them in there, lock the ceiling, and when the soldiers come, tell them that they have gone this way, they have run out of the town. And God said, by faith, that act was called an act of faith. My prayer is, we will hear. Amen. We will receive grace. Amen. We will receive wisdom. Amen. And we will be doers. We will not be sluggish. Amen. We will say, yes, Lord. Amen. We will say, we will go. Amen. And we will not stay like the second son. We will go and do the work. Amen. And as we do the work, salvation is being wrought. Because it's for salvation. And the salvation is actually to raise stars and witnesses out of us. I pray that in this conference, that we will not miss out on what God has for us. And that we will be followers tenaciously to hear and have hearts to receive grace to be doers of what God will be asking us to do. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Can we respond to God in prayer?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.